When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Now hit the drugs from my generation. And it's a sin to God, the beast, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play like a music. Move it to the music.
Everyone bows down. To the queen.
Let me talk to you.
TikTok.
To the moon.
For the love of God, stay away from the different dogs.
Move to the music, play like a music. Move it to the music, yeah.
Acknowledge me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is not PC Tunney. Therefore, I am not the commissioner, nor am I the commissionaire
of not the United States.
Of not the Americas. But my name is Greg DeMarco. And stay with me on this, Dan. I am your kingpin and the kingpin
of the United States.
Maybe of thechairshot.com. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe of thechairshot.com, Dan? Maybe
of thechairshot.com?
Always use your head, and that means I am also not one half of the greatest tag team never, but I am indeed joined by the other half, some would say the better half, and since PC's not here to defend himself, we'll say just that he's a man of many talents. He's an architect. He's a scientist. He's a winner, because a winner is he, but most importantly, it is him. It is he. It doth be DPP.
Because I'm better than you, and you know it.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, since cookies are for closers, I'm not done yet, because the third member of this triumvirate trifecta of triangular podcasting, the triplicate trio of triumph that I am nice enough to be asked to join today. He started as Bob, the brother of Balls. It was even called Baby Balls, but has long since been out of the shadow. And into his own spotlight, he is the tremendous trivia trickster himself. He's phenomenal and oh so funky fresh, AJ Belez.
It is so nice to have the kingpin of Chair Shot with us tonight.
Doing my best PC Tunney impersonation.
You already did it better than him.
No.
I can't acknowledge that. That's where we're going.
Acknowledge me.
Yeah, nobody can do it like PC, but we'll talk about that later. I am so excited to be here. I am a fan and always listener of the DWA podcast. I've been on it before, but to be able to host is super exciting for me. And when PC told me about the possibility, I made sure I could.
Of course. Jump to the opportunity.
Jumped. I felt froggy and I jumped.
It's the first time hosting DWI podcast. This is one of the rare episodes in 284 episodes that PC Tunney is not hosting, and I think it's the first one that he has not been on in 284 episodes.
Really?
I think so.
I just missed my own show this week, so yeah, that's...
Here you go, it's the Greg DeMarco DWI.
That's right, DWI podcast number 284, the Greg DeMarco show, one of you guys said last week. So you can name it whatever you want. That's not my job. That's Dan's job. Yeah, we're going to have some fun. And I know that we've got some good shit planned for today, some surprises. And we're going to play the hits, but we're going to have fun and talk some pro wrestling as well. So if you guys are ready, I can dive in and do the big show sheet.
What? You got a sheet?
I got a sheet.
Oh boy. Gosh, all right. Wow. Well then.
Well, we're waiting. Well, it's
the
big
show. The strange
sheet. Music to my ears as well.
Yes. I love it.
We are going to kick things off with one of my favorite segments, What You Drinking. We'll talk briefly about the fans being back in WWE. By the way, episode 284 of the UWA podcast. We'll talk some WWE Money in the Bank, wrap that up. I've got some quick hits for the boys to go over future items after Money in the Bank. We'll play some fun games with Braun Strowman's favorites. And, of course, funky fresh facts with AJ Balazs. I got a last call planned for you guys. And for those of you listening, sometimes you want to stick around after the movie. There's a post-credit scene. That's all I'm going to say. So that is what's planned for today.
Call that a teaser.
That's not a spoiler. That's a prediction.
It's a spoiler. Yeah. You guys good with that stuff?
I think we can make that work.
Sounds good to us.
You could just hang up on me if he doesn't like it.
That's true.
Done. You're gone. We'll do that, you dumbass. So.
No, we're not going to do that.
I've got some bad news.
Well, in another really bad PC Tony impersonation, DP, why don't you do me a Flavor Flav and ring the bell?
Love it.
Podcast underway. We are going to talk some Money in the Bank, but before we do, this weekend it was interesting because as we were gearing up towards last Friday's SmackDown, I was critical and even sent some text messages. Everybody in WWE was like, fans are back, fans are back, fans are back. And I'm like, was no one at WrestleMania? Like, fans were back at WrestleMania. But then I watched SmackDown and I realized, okay, this is different. Like, fans are back. They're packed in tightly. At one point during SmackDown, actually, I think it was Money in the Bank, they did the whole wide shot and then of the crowd and then panned into the ring. And it almost gave me goosebumps. Like, I forgot those little things that mattered. How was it for you guys? Feeling with we'll let Dan go first with having fans back, like how did that affect your viewing?
I think I liked the matches more. I think there was just this, there's an atmosphere, there's an adrenaline that goes into that. I got goosebumps too. I mean, to hear the chants from the fans, to hear cheers and boos, to hear, you know, not piped in audio, this is real. It felt real. You know, I know they were back at WrestleMania. It just felt like a completely different atmosphere, which is awesome. Yeah. And I loved every second of it. That was the most exciting pay-per-view I've watched in a year and a half. It really was. Even if it wouldn't have been that great of a product in the ring, probably, it probably would have been still awesome. But just to see that interaction was great.
I loved WrestleMania 37, but yeah, it was unique in its own way, especially because they didn't have all the lights on the crowd in WrestleMania, which is weird for a stadium show. But I loved SmackDown. I loved Money in the Bank. I loved Raw. I loved all of it. AJ, what about you?
Oh, I absolutely loved it, especially with one of the matches that everyone wanted to poo-poo for a bit. The crowd really brought that match to life and made it a lot better for the heel, in all honesty. But we'll get to what the matches are later. But yes, the crowd being back, it's a completely different atmosphere. I agree with the goosebumps. I actually was excited. I was also happy that the crowd didn't take over the pay-per-view, where they didn't go like, oh, yeah, you suck, you suck. And then everyone just fell flat, where everyone was like, all right, well, I guess this is the match. We're just going to keep going on and on. No, they actually embraced the match. They were happy about matches. Like I said before, the one match they all didn't like it until someone reacted and was, oh, this is actually a good match. All right, wait a minute, hold on. But like we said,
and I thought, and I know what match you're talking about, and I just thought it was the best match of the night. So good. Real quick question for you guys before we go to the next point. What'd you think of the new set?
I absolutely love it. The whole widescreen Titantron, love it so much. It brings a little more to it. I mean, we saw on Raw with Karrion Kross actually debuting. It actually shows more of his Titantron, where it's actually, you know, the crow flying in and everything gives him that ominous presence. Jeff Hardy brings the whole wild experience and everything, and I like it. I can see that going forward for about maybe another 2-3 years before they do something different like they always do.
DP,
what do you think?
It makes it a lot more difficult for Riddle to get down to the ramp with his scooter.
I know.
It's very simple, I think. Like, it's big, but I think it's simple, and it's probably a lot easier to put that together than it is to try and put together the old set. I think, I don't know, just because it doesn't have a platform or anything else that you have to worry about, just flat. It's probably a lot easier to move around and work with, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. I hated the WrestleMania 35 stage. That was just this, but smaller, but bigger. And I don't love it. I don't, but it's just, I know I'm in the minority. I'm still a sucker for the old. When Raw first went to the stage and had just a big giant screen and the ramp and everything, like, I'm still a sucker for that.
It's fine.
Yeah, black curtain, got the screen up just for the little.
The big RAW letters. Like, I just hate that shit up all the time. But I know I'm in the minority, and it's just a stage in the end. Like, I can't complain too much. And so I'm good. Well, before we talk about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view itself, Dan, if you could, I want to find out what everybody's drinking.
Drink it in, man. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I've got more in the trunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. And I'm going to be drunk till the next time I'm drunk. I walk in the bar and the
so I have a nice. So in preparation for this show, I went to the store and got two 1 liter bottles.
They're 1 liters?
Every time I'm on with you guys, I have a 1 liter bottle of Diet Pepsi. And that's where I'm at today. And I also have the jug of water that I have right here. I don't think I've ever really talked about this aspect of things on. I've talked about having the leukemia and everything, the same one that Roman Reigns has. I learned this recently as I was looking up side effects. Apparently, my doctor didn't tell me this. You're not supposed to drink on the treatment medication. So, good thing I wasn't.
That
I was never
sense,
a heavy drinker. I was never a heavy drinker anyway. But now I'm definitely not. So that's sort of my deal now. So, yeah. I mean, not a heavy alcohol drinker. I drink way too much Diet Pepsi.
It's my dad's
basically
drink
too. And when I started going to CrossFit and the guy was talking about my diet, even when I told him I drink Diet Pepsi, he was like, well, we'll keep that for now. And then he's not there anymore, so I just still drink it. That's me. So, 1 liter bottle of Diet Pepsi. All right. Balls. What about Earth? Baby balls. AJ.
Baby balls. Brother of balls. We're going with all the old hits here. I'm
trying not to call you things.
You know I don't care, Greg. Well, since I'm pretty sure, Dan, did you have a work day as well here?
Fridays? I do not work on Fridays, sir. My work day is at the golf course.
You lucky son of a gun. You lucky son of a gun, because I had to pour myself a little bit of rum and coke here. Got my Kraken rum on the ready, as always. A little 2-liter bottle of coke right next to me, so you know after a long week of working, this is what's deserved.
Drink it in, man, as we said at the beginning of what you're drinking. I mentioned that I did go golfing, but I did go golfing at 6 in the morning Central Time. So I did not have any alcohol on the golf course, which was very strange, because I was done by 9:30. So I could add, I guess, a mimosa or something. But no, I waited until I got home, got myself cleaned up, and I am having a vodka and pineapple soda. I am having it in my Milwaukee Bucks glass, because we are goddamn champions.
Ring that bell.
And I will fucking celebrate that. Woo!
It looks so tough for you to have a straw, too.
Right? Champion.
The guy will celebrate that.
We'll celebrate.
Oh my god, I want to get out of control here.
Even though I'm standing on the far west side of Phoenix, Arizona, I ain't even mad about it at all. Like, no one expected the Suns to be where they were, and I thought it was great. But the Bucks have been there and should have been there before, so I'm down.
Yeah, They were knocking at the door. They finally busted through. It was pretty awesome. I'll give the Suns were badass though, but man, Devin Booker is lights out killer. They're gonna be really, really good. As if Chris Paul stays, gonna be really good.
They need to do what the Bucks did over the next 2 to 3 years, and that's step it up. And
they got some young, they got some good guys on that team.
Got some good young guys. I think there's talk locally that they might try to get the hell is his name, Blake Griffin. So I don't know.
Good veteran.
I don't follow it that closely.
But, same. I know on three man weave, Ray, when I was on there, Ray was like, I can see the Bucks and the Suns, but I don't know how that's gonna go. And I'm like, I want the Suns to win because they're the underdog, but I also know Tony and Dan love the Bucks, so I'm not gonna root against them. So it was a good finals for once, in my opinion.
It was.
I can tell you I like the Milwaukee Bucks way more than I like the Young Bucks. Let's talk about Money in the Bank. Let's talk about Money in the Bank. So Money in the Bank obviously was last Sunday, took place since we last recorded. I got some highlights I want to hit, and then we can kind of get into some other items as well. Real quick, I want to touch on that kickoff match because, damn it, if where else but being in WWE and being a member of the Anoa'i family, can you get a DUI and then 10 days later, hoist a championship belt over your head and be the one to score the pinfall? Like, seriously.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Literally.
Literally.
Yeah.
This is my yard now.
That's
why. And there's your answer.
There's your answer. Yeah, I get it. And look, last time Jimmy did this, they didn't immediately do anything either because you got to let, you know, justice play out. But again, if it was other people, I don't think it would have been the same way. But either way, the Usos, still probably the best tag team in the world, not named FTR, who they don't get used anyway, so whatever. But no problems with it. Don't want to spend a ton of time on that, but any thoughts on the Usos, on the fact that the answer to what are they going to do about Jimmy was nothing except for one side comment during SmackDown. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I when we talked about it when it first happened, I felt like they need to do something. Obviously, they're, like I said, they're in the middle of a thing, and they weren't going to let anything stop that, apparently. So, now that they're the champs, I don't know what you do. You can't. He's not going to be off television for any time soon now. But I thought like 30 days should have been like, okay, off TV for 30 days. There you go.
I agree.
Somewhat punishment, but yeah, they're stuck now, I guess.
I was about to say, I don't know. I thought Roman was going to tell him to go down to the cruiserweight division in NXT, you know, with that 205 BAC, you know, go for the 205 Live championship.
This is punishment.
The best graphic I saw was one that said 0.205 drive. I love that one.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I saw that and was just like, holy shit. I wish I'd thought of it, but I didn't. So the Usos are your new SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Money in the Bank proper, the pay-per-view itself, kicked off, of course, Nikki A.S.H. winning the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. There's been like 20 of these ladder matches or whatever over the years. I didn't look up the exact number. And no one's ever won it in the way that Nikki won it, which is really hard to do in wrestling, to do something that's never been done before. What did you think about Nikki basically playing off everyone else being distracted and fighting each other and getting the briefcase?
I mean, if you want to see what my opinions were of the match, go check out thechairshot.com. I did review Money in the Bank.
Absolutely.
I believe what I alluded to was she played that off like every single person playing a WWE video game where, oh, the two computers are like fighting each other. They're like stuck in like a collar and elbow tie-up. I'm just going to do my thing then. I know for a fact Andrew's still pissed off at me to this day because of a SmackDown versus Raw triple threat match where it was for the World Heavyweight Championship. He got caught in a collar and elbow with the computer, and I just went, screw this, I'm going to climb out of the cage and beautiful. Win the championship with my creative character. But wow. No, I loved it because it, even though it wasn't that, it didn't seem very superhero-esque of her just being like, oh, everyone's distracted, I'm going to grab it and take it. It's still working.
She's not a superhero. She's almost.
Almost a superhero. Yes, that's what the ASH stands for, everybody. But hey, it worked out for her. She won Money in the Bank on Sunday, so that's. I can't complain that she played everything up perfectly, and just like one of the main eventers, she was an ultimate opportunist on that one.
Nobody picked her. I know that. Nobody picked her on our my shows either. DP, were you okay with Nikki hoisting the briefcase?
Sure.
You want to play? Play with Nikki.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, definitely. It wasn't. I didn't see that one coming, I guess. It wasn't my pick, so it was a nice surprise. And I agree. It was a cool way to end it because it was completely different than any other time that's a ladder match has happened like this. Yeah. So.
Like that kind of spot's been teased before, but it never works. And then it finally worked.
Right. Yeah. Like it's the ultimate underdog type of thing. So I love it. Let's do it. And obviously, if we're going right into Raw for this one,
go ahead. Yeah.
Didn't take a lot of time.
Didn't hesitate.
Didn't take a lot of time.
Did not hesitate. And that's kind of where I'm at is. So Carmella won the briefcase in 2018 and didn't cash in until the night after WrestleMania. Ever since then, no woman has held the briefcase longer than a day.
Yeah.
We have not had a woman carry the briefcase since Carmella. And I think that's the only thing that...
Like held it from 2 hours or something like that and won it last year?
Held it for 2 hours. The next year, Bayley cashed in like right away during the same pay-per-view. Then last year, Asuka had the whole Becky thing, which I got, and I loved DP's idea of Asuka winning the briefcase and giving it to Becky. Obviously, that didn't happen. But yeah, like we have yet to have a woman carry the briefcase and taunt people with it and do all of that since Carmella did it. And Carmella waited so long, people forgot she had the briefcase. But it's just interesting to me that we do the storyline with the men all the time and not with the women. But you also got the feel-good moment. They wanted to give the crowd that of Nikki cashing in. So they missed out on such a money-making opportunity because having her run around, you could have sold – now, they don't even have Nikki Ash merchandise out yet. But you could have sold so many Nikki Cash T-shirts, and they just missed out on Nikki Cash altogether, which is just
– That's unfortunate.
Like green and gold masks that she wears.
Yeah, well, you can still do that. But
you still can, but –
It's not the same.
That's what they did with Money Mella, right? Money Mella started wearing the cash outfits or whatever after she won the Money in the Bank.
She started having the dollar bills and all the dollar signs along there,
Yeah, we haven't had a woman carry the briefcase. I don't know that Nikki would have been the best to do that. Probably should have been a heel like a Zelina Vega or Alexa Bliss. That's what I wanted to get back to. The match started with Alexa kind of summoning the briefcase down. And they never really explored that. And I feel like we need to get Alexa in a ladder match at some point where she basically wins by either summoning the briefcase down or when someone's about to get it, summoning it up above them. We haven't done that since the 90s. Like that, it's weird they did that and then never explored it.
I was about to say, I don't remember if I said it or not in the review, but I'm just like, so she's trying to summon it down like a reverse Stone Cold with the belt or the briefcase or the belt, whatever it was. I can't remember off the top of my head from the 90s. But like bring it down like, all right, I want the briefcase. Bring it to me now. And then Asuka just comes and German suplexes her.
Yeah, like they didn't even move the like let it at least like show she has these weird ass superpowers. But yeah, I don't know.
It should have worked throughout the match or something. At least at the beginning it was like, what is she trying to do? And then all of a sudden, you see it start to come down a little bit and it would have been, They definitely could have played that a lot longer if they wanted to.
And then I would have loved the spot where somebody's on top of the ladder and she raises the hand up again and the briefcase raises up.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. It fits her character perfectly.
We got the hand raise a little bit with Zelina Vega trying to possess her. And it's like, let's go down. Okay. All right. I'm going to go back up now.
That's true. You got that.
So you got half of it at least, or like a quarter of it.
So Nikki Ash is, of course, now the Raw Women's Champion. She cashed in. Charlotte Flair, another really short title run. We'll talk about Charlotte Flair's match in a minute. Let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back on the other side and talk more about the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You are listening to episode 284 of the DWI podcast on the Chairshot Radio Network on thechairshot.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Also, take yourself on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up one of those great CHAIRSHOT t-shirts we got. From character shirts to slogan shirts to logos and so much more. Get a shirt on your back. Support your favorite brand, the website, the movement, and Christopher Platt would say, thechairshot.com. Get it, and you can get it in women's style, tank top, soft style, whatever you want. We got it for you. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot. Then we had, at least I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, Bob Lashley. Absolutely destroying Kofi Kingston. Just destroying Kofi. Kofi is real great at taking an ass beating. And after what happened on Raw, and maybe this is just my opinion, man, but after what happened on Raw, I think this match went down exactly as it needed to. DP, what about you?
I 100% agree with that. You know, I wasn't a fan of the match when it was like that, when they were doing that, but I got it. I get it. You know, with Billiam Goldberg coming out and setting this match up. I mean, what it felt like was it's Bobby Lashley's Lesnar. He's doing the Lesnar beat the shit out of everybody. This could lead to Lashley and Lesnar at WrestleMania. This could, you know, I don't know where they're going, but this is exactly the way it is, because that's Goldberg's whole thing is he, you know, it's a 2-3 minute match and he destroys a guy. Bobby Lashley's coming out and destroying guys. And Kofi Kingston can easily take that beating and come back just fine. So
Kofi's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Nothing going to happen to Kofi.
I thought it was great. I mean, we watched Lesnar destroy John Cena and how many other guys, you know, in a couple minutes or whatever, too. I mean, that's exactly what Lashley's doing right now.
And toying with him, too. That's what I love. Like, he didn't just beat him in 4 seconds like Brock did. He's just toying with him, throwing him around, picking him up, not even letting him tap out. Like, and thankfully, Corey Graves pointed out on commentary, he was literally keeping Kofi away from the ref so the ref couldn't see Kofi submitting. Like, that was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree on all of this. Like, I love the fact that they played up to MVP's bringing out all of, like, the girls and everything. And, Bobby Lashley's the best. He's the almighty. He's the WWE champion. And Bobby just, like, I lost to Xavier Woods, of all people, on Raw.
Yep.
I'm pissed off about that. I'm going to break Kofi. And that's exactly what we saw on Money in the Bank, where he did like 2 or 3 dominators and put in 2 hurt locks before Kofi Kingston tapped out. Like, he's playing the, all right, I'm pissed off. I don't want all this like grandeur and like trying to get distracted and everything. No, I'm the WWE champion. I'm going to focus. And that's exactly what he did. He just beat the ever living hell out of Kofi Kingston. Went on, went to Raw, beat the ever living hell out of Keith Lee for about 7 minutes. And then, you know, you hear the snare drums play and we got Oldberg versus Bobby Lashley at a Slammiversary.
Well, I think you have something.
we'll get to Bill and Bob later in the show. Interesting, though. Xavier Woods did pin Bob on Raw. It wouldn't shock me if we get a repeat of what happened at Money in the Bank on this Monday's Raw, just on Xavier Woods, that he just beats the crap out of Xavier Woods, too. Because technically, and WWE doesn't always follow these things, but you pin the champion, you get a title shot. So he should get a title shot.
That used to be the way.
Just another chance for Bob to enact his power. I'll talk more about Bob later during the quick hits, but Next match I want to talk about, I'll let AJ lead this off because you've been hinting to it over and over again. Charlotte Flair beats Rhea Ripley and becomes the Raw Women's Champion.
Wait, I'll say why it's weird in a little bit, and I have to shout out to Tunney because he said it where he said Charlotte Flair wins, LOL. It was our own little DM where he was like, she wins, and I'm like, if she wins, I'll give you a shout out in the next review, which I did. You can see it on thechairshot.com. But again, everyone in the crowd hated this match. Everyone was like, oh yeah, we get this for like the third time since Mania, third or fourth time at least. So they were saying, we want Becky. And you see Charlotte do a double one-gun salute to the entire crowd. And it was actually a pretty good match. I'm not even denying it. It was a great match.
And then, I thought it was the best match of the night.
And then, like you said, Greg, best match of the night. You had Charlotte winning to become a 13/11 time, because for whatever reason, she's not counting the NXT or Divas title, no, from what I've heard.
They count the Divas and not the NXT.
Isn't she a two-time champ, though?
She was a one-time Divas, I think. But
well, one-time Divas, and then that turned into the triple threat at Mania 31, I believe.
They basically retired the Divas and made the triple. Yeah, I don't know. But
I don't know how that ring works. But they're not counting a couple of them, because on her promo on Raw, she said she was an 11-time women's champion, even though the night before she said she was a 14-time.
It's just like her dad. Nobody knows. Like
nobody knows.
Ric Flair is technically a 22-time world champion.
Yeah.
Not a 6-time world champion. But that's how they count it.
Because the NWA likes to, like, whenever they go, for a little backstory, the NWA, for whatever reason, likes to say, oh, yeah, we went, like, across borders, or like, we're in Puerto Rico. A couple of people held it, and then Ric Flair got it back at the end of it for taping.
Just don't count. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like a 22, 23-time world champion instead of a 16-time, but everyone just says 16.
You know why those don't count? It's because typically those were not sanctioned by the NWA. Usually Flair would go over, and a promoter would be like, look, I'll give you 10 grand, lose your belt to this guy tonight, and then we'll give it back to you at the end of the tour, or we'll give it back to you the next night. And the NWA didn't know about that shit usually until after he got back, and they find out months later. So that's why a lot of those rings don't count. Is because they weren't meant for people to even know about. They were just meant to pop a local crowd and put more money in Flair's pocket. Dirtiest player in the game in so many ways. But
woo!
I agree with you. Like, Charlotte giving the crowd the double bird, I thought it was the best match of the night by far. Best match I've ever seen Rhea Ripley have, and she's been doing that with Charlotte Flair multiple times. I'm not as low on Rhea Ripley as some people are, but I really thought it was best match of the night. LOL Charlotte wins is something we've been saying for years on these podcasts. It holds true. When I picked, a lot of people picked Rhea, I picked Charlotte because LOL Charlotte wins. And here we are. And of course, she's been cashed in on quite a few times too, but that makes sense when you hold the belt so many damn times. I'm good with all of it. And I think Rhea, whatever they do next with Rhea Ripley really determines how much of a success she can be on the main roster, in my opinion. DP, was it your favorite match of the night? Was it something else?
It was. It was a really good match. I think it put it over the top for me because of the crowd. I think because what they did is that crowd turned on them. That crowd wanted to chant for Becky. That crowd wanted to take over. Like AJ was saying, they tried to take that match over, and Charlotte and Rhea went, nope. We're going to bring you back. And they turned him back around and got him on their side and put on a hell of a show. And that just was awesome. And to hear the crowd just turn back and cheer that match was just amazing, that they did that great of a job to get that crowd back on their side.
I'm not trying to break your thought process here, but they literally went from "we want Becky" to "this is awesome" about like 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
And to me, that's all Charlotte. I don't have confidence in Rhea yet. She's only like 22, 23 years old in Rhea to do that. But Charlotte has, in a short period of time, has essentially mastered her craft. It's amazing what she's been able to do. Like, that shit really is hereditary.
It's funny. Like, I think about that too. When she came up onto the main roster at the beginning and how her promos were like, oof, really rough. You know, it was just, she didn't know what the hell she was doing. And then, like, now it's just, like, smooth, and she's got that character down. She knows how to get him working, and, I mean, you just see...
Well, she's amazement. A horrible babyface.
Oh, she's no, she's a horrible baby. She's a flare.
Never make Charlotte a babyface. Never.
She's a flare.
Never.
The moment she dumped Ric Flair and turned heel, she became a great wrestler. Like, that's...
yeah. Exactly. Weird.
As soon as that happened, I was like, here we are. Perfect. Charlotte Flair.
So, here we go with the nature girl.
No, thank God they never did that. Her career would be
thank
over already.
God.
She'd be fucking Curtis Axel and Ted DiBiase Jr. at this point if that happened. And we don't want that.
Slapjack and
Biggie.
Porterhouse or whatever their names were. God. Over before it started.
Slapjack, Porterhouse, freaking bar. Mace, T-Bar. Let's not do that. And let's go on to the next topic, Greg.
Because T-Bar is so fucking talented. He'll go back to NXT at some point and be amazing. Big E in what I think was the feel-good moment of the night, winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. I have to go back. I had a lot of the Peacock problems that everybody else did, so I did not see most of this match. I saw like the tail end of it that everybody saw once Peacock came back in, and I haven't had a chance to rewatch it. From what I've heard, I should, because apparently it was quite stellar. And I did see the Kevin Owens spot, and I mean, geez. I feel for his wife when she's watching these things.
Yeah.
But yeah. So tell me about the match. Tell me what I missed, and then we'll talk about Big E.
So, I mean, you didn't really miss much. I mean, it looked like McIntyre was the main guy who was going to win this until Jinder Mahal wanted to continue that feud a little bit more. Got his goons to take out Drew, dragged him out, so it became a 7-man ladder match instead of an 8-man. But.
Yeah.
But
I had to.
I don't blame you. Jinder Mahal was actually on Money in the Bank pay per view.
Right.
But I don't know. Seeing Riddle actually wrestle Rollins, especially with all the backstage stuff that we know, where he kept saying he didn't want to wrestle him, he didn't want to do stuff with him. They had a lot of interaction in this match, like a lot of it. You saw Riddle actually doing some RK Bros. I guess we're gonna call it RK Bros.
Bro.
He did a couple of those. He made sure he got a lot of stuff done. But in the end, you know, you had Ricochet and Morrison doing the high spots off the ladders.
The shit
ropes.
They've been doing since Lucha Underground Season 1.
Pretty much, yeah. And then, of course, you got Big E doing some big endings on some of the guys. Rollins doing a powerbomb onto Owens, where, like you said, I feel bad for his wife. And even Owen, too. Like, watching his dad getting powerbombed on the outside through a teeter-totter freaking ladder. Man, I do not want to be the dad that has to say, yeah, I fell off a ladder, kid. What?
Yeah.
But like you said, Big E won, did a big ending onto Rollins, ran up the ladder, and became Mr. Money in the Bank, which he still holds. Since we're recording on Friday, we don't know if he's going to cash it in yet or not, or anything else. So he's still Mr. Money in the Bank, unlike Nikki A.S.H.
Right.
So
I think Big E will hold it for a while. Here's my question about the briefcase. And I don't think this has ever happened in the history of Money in the Bank briefcase. I don't know. We've seen titles get traded in drafts. I don't know if a briefcase has ever changed brands during a draft. I feel like the briefcase is going to end up going to Raw when Big E goes to Raw.
Doesn't have to. You can cash it in on any guy.
I know for a fact, like, the last two or whatever said it has to be that specific brand.
Yeah.
This one didn't.
But this one never mentioned, like, it has to be a specific brand. So Big E can wholeheartedly cash in on Bobby Lashley because the New Day wanted to gank Lashley.
Right.
It feels like that's the way they're going. I mean, it just, I don't know. It just feels like that's the play here, is get the New Day back together-ish. Feel good moment. Hey, I'm on Raw. I might be cashing in tonight, whatever type of thing. And then eventually he tries to cash in on Lashley, and that's when we get the Kofi Kingston turn, because Kofi Kingston got his ass handed to him. I think he's going to turn around and go heel. I don't know.
Interesting. I don't think he, I don't think the New Day is ever breaking up. I just, there's just so much money in them still. I do think Big E will eventually cash in on Lashley. I could see Big E doing the big baby face cash in where he calls a shot ahead of time. Maybe that's how he set up a WrestleMania match. Like, Big E is money. They know Big E is money. He's a star just waiting. I also, I selfishly don't want them to cash in on Bob just yet. I'm really, I'm saving the Bob topic for the quick hits that we're going to do. But Bob's a guy at this point, and he's a made man now, despite everything that I was worried about. But Big E, you know, we should have known crowds being back. They were going to go with the two most feel-good people possible for your Money in the Bank briefcase holders. I loved the Liv Morgan choice that you guys were saying. I still think Liv's going to get a push unless Sasha and Becky both return tonight on SmackDown as we record this on Friday. Then where the hell does Liv fit? I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Becky might end up on Raw anyway, because I think Seth might get moved again, but who knows? And then, of course, we had the main event. Roman Reigns, I put Roman's going to Roman, but I think that's a good thing. And I've heard people say Roman's going to dominate Edge. I knew Roman was not going to dominate Edge. Edge was not going to get dominated. He's too high up of a person. He's a fucking Hall of Famer, like an 11-time world champion. You're just not going to dominate Edge at this point. Plus, the story that was told wasn't one of Edge getting dominated. The whole deal with the piece of the chair. Like, since when has a support bar of a chair been so fucking important to any storyline in any in professional wrestling ever?
Completely true.
So, is DP's got a straw in his mouth. Oh, now AJ's drinking. DP. Thoughts on Roman Reigns and Edge, and before we get to the big return, just Roman and Edge in general, and what happened and where we are.
Like you said, Roman's going to Roman. I think it's perfect. I think we need to keep this until WrestleMania. I mean, I thought the match was great.
At least,
you know, they obviously did the protection with a little bit of the ref bump, you know, guys coming in to interfere. You know, it keeps Edge somewhat safe. Like, he didn't lose cleanly technically, but even so, he could have. I mean, Reigns is in a spot where he can beat Edge cleanly and be fine. But I think a good match is the way to go, because Reigns doesn't necessarily have to dominate him; just has to win, and he survives through everybody. He survives everybody, and he keeps coming out on top, and leads the charge of the family in SmackDown. I think it's perfect.
Absolutely. It's 100% agree with you. Plus, if we had a dominating win, then we would have had two dominating wins and championship matches on the same pay-per-view. You don't want that either. Plus, it's Edge, and this might be Edge's last, you know, world title feud, unless he does one over on Raw or something. But I thought it was great. I thought it was perfect way to use both guys. I thought they told the story perfectly with the crossface and everything. And the Seth Rollins stuff at the end, setting that up for SummerSlam. Loved all of it. AJ, I know we can read what you thought, but let's hear what you thought.
Yeah, I know that you said Charlotte and Rhea was your match of the night. This was my match of the night because I'm a sucker for story. Everyone knows this if you read my reviews. I'm a sucker for storylines, and this played up the support bar of the chair perfectly, the Edge versus Roman at Mania perfectly. It did everything nice. You even threw in another story in where the pre-show match, the Usos and the Mysterios came in to stop the Usos from interfering when there was a ref bump. So, like, everything was played out perfectly. Roman trying to do, like, his Superman punch with his now golden glove to do the Superman punch to make sure it hits harder, because we all know gold does that.
Yeah, it's an infinity gauntlet, but, you know.
I was going to say, yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Putting stones in it. Yeah.
Basically. But, you know, after everything was done, Rollins even said the spoiler where it was, I'm going to be a deciding factor in this main event match because I lost Money in the Bank. He was still a deciding factor after the ref bump where he stopped the crossface attempt. He beat down Edge. Reigns came back, Reigns doing Reigns things, making sure everything was acknowledged, and he beat Edge. I mean, pretty, I can't say pretty cleanly or anything like that because, you know, there was a ref bump. We still had the cross face with the support bar and Rollins coming in, but it was still a really good story-driven match. And then, like you alluded to before, Greg, we had a little bit of a little reveal as to who he's facing at SummerSlam.
We'll talk about that soon. We're not going to talk about that just yet.
We're not going to talk about it just yet.
Acknowledge me.
But it seems like Edge and Rollins are going into a feud in the future, probably a SummerSlam match. And so is Roman for SummerSlam going on for August, I believe, in Las Vegas, right?
Yep. Las Vegas in August. I love Edge and Rollins at SummerSlam. That might steal the show. It probably will. Kind of reminds me of Edge and Foley at WrestleMania 22, where they were like, we're going to steal the damn show. Like, Rollins can't really be at the top right now, even though he's a top guy, because you've got Roman, you've got Bob, and Rollins is going to go out there and steal the damn show with Edge, probably in the middle of the card, and it's going to be spectacular. And you know Edge wants that feather in his cap. Edge has proven, regardless of age, he'll put his body on the line. Just everybody, all three of those guys at the top of their game. It's interesting. Had Edge not gotten injured, he would have retired like 2 years later, and we would have gotten none of this. So it's just crazy what happens in the world of wrestling sometimes. Although he might have come back anyway, you know, despite that, because he still made the comeback. But I loved when Rollins was the dirty Seth Rollins heel, you know, back in the day, and threatened to kill Edge. Like, that was just such a great, great, great storyline.
Johnny Idiot Face.
And I just cannot wait to see this play out, because they've already shown the videos. They're going to play on the history of it, and they should. Edge is such a great storyteller for you, AJ, and so is Rollins. And this is when you can mix story and in-ring acumen, it's a recipe for brilliance, and that's what we're going to get at SummerSlam, in my opinion. DP, any other thoughts on Roman and Edge?
No, I love where they're going with all of it. Storyline wise for that entire group of guys that you just mentioned, you know, all the way down to the Mysterios and the tag titles, like, it's just going to be badass. It's going to be, makes for awesome SummerSlam matches.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So we're going to play a little thing that I've done on my shows called Quick Hits. Now, soundbite's not the greatest, so I apologize for in advance for I'll adjust the volume on my soundbite bar here to help you out a little bit. The key element of Quick Hits is the word quick. These are all topics that will be discussed at length in the weeks and months to come, and so I don't want us to spend a ton of time on them. Plus, we're going to have some fun after this. So I do want to have an opportunity to talk about these things, though, as they will be very important topics. So I will play the quick hits. When we do quick hits, we will go I'll introduce a topic. We'll go DP, then AJ, then myself. I'm not going to even be like, hey, AJ, what do you think? Just like boom, 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 and we'll go around. There's like four of them. And we'll have some fun, and then we'll have some more fun. We're just having fun today. We'll have more fun after that. So here we go.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Bang.
Undefeated two-time NXT champion, which it sounds weird to say that somebody's undefeated and a two-time champion, Karrion Kross made his debut on Raw and quickly lost to Jeff Hardy.
Hated it.
Where's Scarlett? That's it for me.
Okay.
As quick as you can get.
Yeah, they played it up on Main Event where Karrion didn't have Scarlett or whatever's going on when they had his Main Event match. But I'm on the fence about it because Hardy didn't win cleanly. He had his foot on the ropes. So this is going to lead into something.
It is. It's going to lead into something. Here's the thing that, and I'm jaded because I know the individual and I've had interaction with the individual. And that's why I'll say it this way. Kevin needed to lose. That's all I'll say. Kevin needed to lose. If you've ever heard me podcast years ago, there was a guy who doesn't really wrestle much anymore by the name of Loki. No one was a bigger fan of Loki the pro wrestler than Loki the guy. And Karrion Kross is kind of the same way. And being undefeated on NXT isn't really good for a lot of people to have that undefeated run then go to the main roster, because when you lose, it's kind of a disappointment. He needed to lose for himself and probably for the storylines as well. I think Scarlett is going to basically be his urn if he were the undefeated. I think Scarlett's going to be the source of his quote-unquote power. and this is a part of something bigger. And when she does come, she's literally going to be what gives him these damn near superhuman powers. I still think, despite losing in his Raw debut to Jeff Hardy, Karrion Kross will probably be a main event level WrestleMania talent at some point in the coming years, in my opinion. And I always thought he was a horrible fit on SmackDown or on NXT anyway.
Bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Bang. You know, we already talked about the second one I had, so I'm going to skip to the third one. Coming up at SummerSlam, Bob versus Bill. Bobby Lashley and Bill Goldberg going one-on-one.
This is cementing Bobby Lashley's legacy of being a dominant champion. This is what needs to happen right now. As much as I hate Goldberg, I know he has his matches and whatever in his contract or whatever, fine. But this is going to be just like Goldberg's other matches. It's going to be quick. It's going to be painless. Bobby Lashley's got to look dominant and come out of this. And he's going to come out looking, somehow he's going to come out looking even stronger than he already is. And it's going to lead to some awesome stuff going into WrestleMania. I'm hoping it's MVP and Paul Heyman going back and forth and some promos, and it's Lashley and Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Ring the bell for yourself.
Yeah, I was about to also say ring the bell, because you know you have MVP and Paul Heyman actually saying back and forth on that. So we know Survivor Series is usually champion versus champion between the brands and everything like that. So I feel Bobby Lashley is gonna kind of treat it like it was WrestleMania 33, where it's Lashley's going to dominate Goldberg and all that's going to happen. But, you know, Goldberg's going to hit the spear about two or three times maybe, or, you know, catches him and throws him to a dominator or something like that. So Lashley winning SummerSlam, I can see, because Goldberg, even though the WCW kid in me, ever since I was two, I would do the Goldberg entrance, even hit my head a couple of times. I love Goldberg, but I don't want to see him have WWE Championship right now. I think Lashley's going to cement his legacy. I think Lashley's going to make sure he goes straight forward all the way to maybe the Royal Rumble against a competitor, maybe WrestleMania, maybe with Paul Heyman on the outside with someone.
I agree 100%. I would, yeah, this is, to be honest with you, it's a great use of the $500,000 they're going to pay Goldberg for this match. Put over Bob, continue to cement Bob. Bob has been the most pleasant surprise of 2021. When he beat The Miz to win the WWE Championship, none of us thought he was going to walk out of WrestleMania as champion. He didn't even get to defend at Fastlane, which I thought was silly. I was like, geez, the poor guy's not even going to get a pay-per-view title defense. And then he goes over clean at WrestleMania, basically, and just keeps going. Like, they decided Bob's going to be a star. And when we all thought they wouldn't. Sometimes it's good when we're wrong, because sometimes they actually know what they're doing. And that's what they're doing with Bob. And here we are. Bob deserves it. And Bob's a guy. I love it. I absolutely love what they're doing. I love for Bob to get that win over Goldberg. It'll be quick. It'll be somewhat decisive. Like AJ said, there's creative things they can do with the spear into the Dominator. He probably doesn't pin or tap out Goldberg. Goldberg probably passes out in the Hurt Lock, which is fine. That'll make Bill happy. He didn't submit. But overall, yeah, I am completely on board with this. I know some people might want to say he's taking a spot from somebody else or whatever. Dude, I don't care about that. It's SummerSlam. It's in a football stadium. It's going to be a spectacle. It's basically the second WrestleMania. It's probably going to stay that way moving forward now. And this is exactly what we should get. Bob and Brock, I love it. I would love to see them do that at WrestleMania. I don't think Bob loses before WrestleMania. I don't think Roman even loses at WrestleMania. I think both these guys are going to be champion for a while. I think that's what the company needs. And I do think Big E will be the one to beat Bob at some point, maybe Mania, maybe beyond, and that'll be Big E's crowning achievement. But I love everything that they're doing with this, and want to see more of it.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. Bang.
DB, can you hit us with the John Cena? Do you have that? John Cena 2004 against John Cena 2021.
Is that what this is? Well,
I mean, basically.
Roman Reigns needs to team up with AJ Styles, because AJ Styles loves to
beat up John Cena!
And this is in kind of the same vein of Lashley. This is his moment of Cena passing the torch, I think, to Roman Reigns to be, you're the guy now. This is it. You know, this is what this matchup kind of feels to me like it is the, you know, I'm coming back here. Now it's your show. This is WWE's yours now. Cena moves on. And same bit, like you said, with Lashley. And, you know, I think these two guys hold the title for a long time. I'm hoping all the way through WrestleMania, if this year does come to Roman Reigns versus The Rock at WrestleMania, that so be it. And that would be pretty awesome to finish off that complete passing of the torch legacy onto Roman as the head of the table. Be perfect. But I love John Cena coming back here. What a pop he got. I mean, I loved it. It was amazing. Live crowds. Once again, going back to live crowds, phenomenal, man. Couldn't have done this another way. You know, this was perfect. This was great. And it's just going to be just a great build to SummerSlam. Like you said, in Vegas is going to be just rocking for this match. And I'm loving Roman Reigns going over here, getting the additional rub from Cena and just continuing to dominate everybody. And where we get around to the Royal Rumble time and there's nobody left, you know, we'll see what happens on the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, because apparently The Rock might make a Survivor Series appearance. It's his 25th anniversary, at Survivor Series since his debut doing that shoulder breaker on the Goldust. But seeing Cena come back, that crowd popping, like you said, DP, just happy as ever seeing Cena. It seems like Roman doesn't have his own current peers to stop him.
Yep.
Where it's, he has to face the early 2000s to actually find some form of competition. Like, we've seen him face Edge, now we're going to see him face Cena, and now we're going to go into the 1990s where The Rock is going to be the next competitor going forward. Who knows what's going to happen between Survivor Series and WrestleMania 38, but that being said, you have like so many pieces going in. Reigns cementing his legacy, like you said. Reigns going on, probably gonna, you know, like one of my favorite wrestlers said, beat up John Cena.
Beat up John Cena!
Thank you, Styles. But, you know, just going on, beating up Cena. Going to Survivor Series, making that match official for Mania, or maybe even the Mania after, or something like that. Who knows? But Reigns is out of competitors. He's looking to the past to cement the future, and I absolutely love how he's doing it. He's not just the head of the table of the Anoa'i family. He's the head of the table at WWE right now.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's Roman Reigns and it's everybody else.
Acknowledge me.
I just did. And he's at top of the world. I guess my hot take or whatever on this is quite simple. I think we're already looking at two of the top six or seven guys in the history of wrestling when we look at Roman Reigns and John Cena. Like, he's there now. He's main evented, what, four WrestleManias already? Like, he's on top of the world. He's there. We just have to acknowledge it.
Acknowledge me.
And that's where we are. And this match is perfect. This is what they should do. And that, I will tell you this. I've noticed it with Roman Reigns. Roman gets the same Cena treatment as before. When John Cena used to make his entrance, it was a pop, and then it was booze. And Roman gets that too. And I'm here to tell you, I know we talk about no more piped in crowd noise. They were piping in boos for Cena back in the day, and they're still piping in boos for Reigns. Not piping them in so we hear them. They pipe them in, and then the crowd follows in with it. And then it's just the crowd. Like they pipe in the boos, and the crowd takes it over, and then it's no longer through the PA. But they still control. They're still the tail is still wagging the dog when it comes to the crowd sometimes in WWE. And it's A-OK. Like, Roman is to boo Roman is to appreciate him at this point. Like, that's what we should do. And they're wagging the tail a little bit, but it works. It's where we are. And I couldn't be happier about it.
Bang, 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 bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang.
Bang. since I ixnayed the Seth Rollins Edge topic, thoughts real quick on the return of Finn Balor and where he fits now that he's back on SmackDown.
He fits wherever he wants to fit. I'm so glad he's back on SmackDown, on the main roster even, because I think he did great in NXT, but he is, you know, the first ever Universal Champion still. And he is damn good. And I'm looking forward to, he's going to be a match against Roman Reigns on this road to WrestleMania, so. For sure. Because again, like you were saying, AJ, he has no competitors. Who else do you got? You're bringing up Finn Balor to the main roster now. He's definitely going to be a competitor for Roman Reigns. I don't know. I don't know where else you put him besides that. I mean, maybe you quickly do something if we're going to do shake things up with a draft again here. You could move some guys around and have some more matches, but I'd love to see Finn versus AJ. I mean, they can't do it right now, but that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, even Edge, you know, they could have a match with him and Edge would be pretty badass. So, I mean, you can do whatever you want with Finn Balor. He is incredibly versatile and is going to be a huge asset in a roster that they don't seem to be using fully. So he's a guy that's going to be perfect for a fit, however you want to use him.
Yeah, I completely agree. As I jokingly said in the review for Money in the Bank, man, we saw every Bullet Club leader in the span of 3 days. We saw Jay White, Kenny Omega during Slammiversary. We saw AJ on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. And we saw Finn on Friday. So that's a pretty good weekend for the Bullet Club for life right there. But, yeah, I would love to see Finn Balor actually show that he is still Prince Devitt. Yes, I know. I'm still a Blaz. I still love my New Japan every now and again. I love the Japanese wrestling. So Prince Devitt coming back has, you know, granted it's Finn Balor still, but he's still the prince. He's still the rock and roller. And he's looking to maybe get that Universal title that he never technically lost.
Yep.
Because that separated shoulder and everything, but that would be a nice little storyline going on to 2022. You know, maybe Royal Rumble is the last match that you see off of that, and then you go into The Rock and everything else. But Finn definitely made sure he remembered he's still Prince Devitt. He's still the king. He doesn't walk on the common ground. He's still going to make sure. I still have what it takes. He even said it on Twitter a few months ago, or even this week. I don't even remember off the top of my head. I went to NXT. I dominated NXT. I went to Raw. I became the first ever Universal Champion. I went back to NXT, won that championship again. Back on SmackDown, looking to go for Universal Championship.
I didn't do this to you. Because it's the first time we've done this, but remember, these are quick hits. I do want to say, in the end, because of Roman Reigns, I think the ceiling right now for Finn is the Intercontinental Championship, which is fine, even though Alexa can no longer do this.
That title sure does cover up those beautiful abs of yours. I'll make you a deal. You show me your abs, and I'll show you mine.
Ooh! Oh, go away, Leo! Go away!
One of my favorite moments ever. Corey Graves telling Leo Rush to go away because he just ruined everybody's porn moment on Raw. I think, yeah, Finn Balor, he said before he doesn't really care about being the world champion anymore because he's been there. I do love the Roman Reigns story. I think we get some of that. I think at the end he's probably going to be back with the Intercontinental Champion. He's probably the one who supplants Apollo Crews as Intercontinental Champion and kind of brings that belt back to the forefront like The Miz did, you know, years ago and everything. And I think that title will continue to be. It's kind of a third world title in WWE anyway in a lot of times, and I think Finn will get it there and kind of give it the Daniel Bryan treatment that Daniel Bryan wanted to do with it for so long. So, yeah, I'm down 100% with Finn being back, and I am very excited about it. So I think the NXT run was perfect to shift his character, like AJ was saying, get us to the Prince – version of the character, and they kept with that even when on the big Titantron in his debut, it had the Prince logo on it. So it's not just going back to Happy Goofy Finn. So I'm excited about that as well. Take a quick commercial break, come back, and have some fun.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
I mean, we just have to get right into it, right?
Kind of right. Greg's favorite topic in all of the EWI.
We need Christopher Platt here to say it's the sensation that's sweeping the nation. Braun's favorites. Or is it Braun anymore? I don't know. Braun Strowman's favorites.
He's coming back. They just released a fucking t-shirt for the guy. He's coming back.
All right.
He's coming back as Braun, or is Adam sure?
He's coming back as Braun.
No more BS, just like the Big Show. No more BS.
Fuck all that.
Well then.
All right, Greg. I mean, you're the one that loves this show so much.
Greg DeMarco's favorite game to play.
Yes. So I don't even need to talk about the rules of Ron's favorite.
Nobody.
I mean, it's
you know the rules. No. Everybody knows the rules.
We know
the rules, baby.
So, we do know the rules. So DP, I mean, I unless you want AJ to be the contestant.
Wow. I don't think so. I mean, we have you on here for a reason.
I do all the PC Tunney stuff in the beginning where I cosplayed as PC Tunney. And nobody can be PC Tunney but PC Tunney. But let's be honest, when it comes to Braun Strowman's favorites, nobody can be Greg DeMarco. And so, yeah, let's ask me the question and watch me fumble over trying to find the answer.
Gonna love this one, too. Because it's very topical, and I'm wearing a t-shirt to support them right now, and that's the 2021 NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks. Braun's a big fan of, Milwaukee and Wisconsin. I know he's played softball here and everything, too, so, he's got to be a big fan of the sports. I'm sure he was supporting the Bucks. And, he's got some favorites of his own on the team, I'm sure. So, I'm going to ask, who is Braun's favorite current roster Milwaukee Buck? I'm going with first name.
Right.
His favorite player.
I mean, thankfully for me, there's not like a Sean on the team or anything like that.
Not because. To my knowledge. I actually somewhat watch these.
You watch playoffs? Watch the finals?
I watched a little bit of it. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, like, a lot of them just would not work. So, even though it doesn't end with the on sound, I think the answer is obvious. Who Braun Strowman's favorite member of the Milwaukee Bucks is. It is, in fact, the guy who carried that team to the NBA championship in the way that he did. Mr. Antetokounmpo himself, Braun Strowman's favorite member of the Milwaukee Bucks is Giannis.
Yes, and thank you very much for pronouncing it properly, or at least as properly as we know.
I listened to that episode of Three Man Weaves. I was yelling at my car stereo for someone to correct Ray, who kept calling him Giannis. And I'm like, what are we
Giannis,
doing?
Giannis. Even I know that. I don't even follow basketball.
I know.
That much.
I was like, if I know it's Giannis, you know it's Giannis. And then he blamed it on being from the South.
See, and here where I thought it was Chris Middleton.
Ah, nice.
I thought about that, but I was like, no, he's playing the hits. He's going with the big guns.
Got to go with the easy one, somewhat.
So, if there was a Sean on the team, I would have somehow asked you a question if it was the big star or a role player, but we all knew what it was. So
that's right.
Thank you for allowing me to play Braun's favorites one last time.
It's always around.
Greg's got his pen and paper. I don't have a beer can with me, so we can't do Tunney's little add into it with the beer crack. So, screw it. It's phenomenal funky facts. We all know what it is after that 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
That works. Screw it. That works. We'll go with it.
Beautiful.
So, as always, everyone knows someone picks 1, 2, or 3 behind the door.
I'm kind of upset. DP, like, wouldn't that have been the perfect spot for a Soda's Rule soundbite drop right there? Yeah. Like,
I mean, kind probably. Of it.
Soda's Rule.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. There we go. I mean, after all, we all have sodas with us right now, even our mixtures. Somewhat. Greg,
in like some you said, form.
Four with the Diet Pepsi. Dan with the pineapple soda and me with the Pepsi with the rum and Coke. So we still got a little bit of the drink in.
Soda there.
The soda's rule. So as always, like I always do with the guests, Greg, you are usually not on here. You're the guest host this time. So I'm going to ask door number 1, door number 2, or door number 3. And I'm going to say this now, Dan loves a good deuce, so maybe not to do.
You don't have to tell me that. I listen to the show all the time.
He knows what's up.
Every single week. I seriously thought about being a dick. Because I, too, enjoy a good deuce. But I'm going to go door number 3.
All right, door number 3. As I take a drink for PC Tunney, name the 3 wrestlers that cashed in Money in the Bank twice. So they had to cash in Money in the Bank twice. Not twice. Win Money in the Bank twice.
Cashed
cash in twice. Money in the Bank twice.
All right.
Like I said, Greg has his little notepad right now. Dan, I know, has his iPad to write everything down. So I feel like this should be a layup for everyone. Not going back should to it? The basketball joke, but
I was worried that this week was going to, because sometimes I kill this trivia, sometimes I suck. Last week, I would have gotten 7 out of 10. So I was worried, like, last week was a big week, and this week I'd suck. But I feel good about this.
You would have beaten Andrew, because he only got 5 out of 6.
Well, I would have gotten 4 on that Money in the Bank question, because I knew the 3 people and that called their shot. I knew that one.
All right. Dan, you got your picks of who did in twice.
You guys are talking on me.
And I knew 3 of the confused. 3 of the 4 Legends title names. I knew that one too. And I knew that it was AJ Styles who was the Triple Crown or whatever.
I don't remember. Oh, the Grand Slam with WWE and TNA. Yeah.
I knew that too. And I knew that it was Kurt Angle who was the closest. Because that whole Kurt Angle Samoa Joe feud.
See, I can never trick the host. I can never trick the owner of
Chair
Shot.
Well, I think the last time I was on here, I did fucking horrible at trivia. So, yeah.
So, Dan, you got a couple of names
on
here.
I got two. I can't think of the third one. I can't think of the third one.
There's 3 of them. Oh. Greg got all 3. Edge, CM Punk, and Miz.
Punk. It was Punk. God damn it.
Punk's the only one that actually won it twice.
Yep.
Where he actually won 24 and 25 back-to-back. Edge won 21, and he beat Mr. Kennedy at 23 for the briefcase. And then, as I said before,
Miz
cashing in because he beat Otis for the briefcase, and we all know how that went because we are current.
Never forget. Never forget.
Oh, my God.
Otis.
You actually have the Funko.
I didn't even know they made that. That's amazing.
I didn't even know they did
it. I saw that at GameStop, and I had to buy it so that I never forget They gave the briefcase to Otis.
Now, was that a GameStop exclusive? Or...
Negative. It's not a GameStop exclusive.
So you can find it at Target, so you can find Best Buy, all that shit?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Cool. Because I know they have a lot of exclusives when it comes to stores.
Yep.
All right. So, Dan, are you just going to go with number two, or are you going to go with number one here?
Do you have to ask?
You never know. You might mix here it up on me two. Since Tony is in here.
Nah.
So, because you love a good deuce, and this is a wrestling show, along with a kind of gaming question.
Ooh. Here
we go. Who won the first two up, up, down, down Madden tournaments?
Oh, Madden tournaments?
Madden tournaments that they have on the Up, Up, Down, Down channel on YouTube.
Baby. All right.
Also, this guy's actually undefeated for a while. Actually winning both of them undefeated as champion of Madden.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I made sure the number two question was just a game beat question.
The New Day doesn't count, right?
New Day does not count. I will say this, it's not a member of New Day.
It's not. Okay, that's what I mean. That's
I've
what
got
I'm
it gonna... down to three, and so I'm just going to guess.
Hey, Greg's gonna throw out a guess. Dan, how about you? You got a pick here? Or...
Yeah, I got one. I don't think the other one's. I'm just guessing on the other one.
All right. So Dan says.
I thought the same person won two.
The same person did win two.
Oh.
Same person did.
Oh, well, that is my first one. Yeah. Okay. I thought
Greg said AJ.
That's what I was saying.
Incorrect.
Ah, damn it! That's what I had with Styles. So yep.
So you got Styles winning it. Styles was in the second one. And he lost to Seth Rollins in the Chicago Bears.
Oh, Seth. And the Bears. I knew I hated
as
Rollins.
The Bears.
Johnny Idiot Face.
He's from Illinois. Come on. You know he was
going
to like Chicago. Come on.
Total BS.
Agreed.
Honestly, my other guess was going to be... on there, and then I thought Rollins, but I never would have. Rollins is like third on my list.
Nah, Rollins won the first two with the Chicago Bears, undefeated, surprisingly enough.
The guy hates football.
Yeah, I think he just hates himself because he's a Bears fan.
He should.
Like all of our football teams here are successful. The Bucks for me, I'm wearing my Bucks shirt right now. Dan with the Packers. Greg. Cardinals are on an upswing.
Yeah, but my Hopkins team was actually the Giants.
With the Giants, yeah, because you used to live in New York, yeah.
There, yeah. I mean, we did win those.
Like Daniel Jones isn't too bad. You have Saquon Barkley.
We'll see with Saquon Barkley back. Right now, I would just if I were anybody, I would rename my team the Bucks because ever since Tom Brady showed up in Tampa, every Bucks has won everything. So,
Look
out, Pittsburgh Pirates, your time's coming. Back turn the season.
Yep. The Milwaukee Bucks won the NBA championship. The Tampa Bay Bucks won the NFL championship.
And the Tampa Bay Lightning won two Stanley Cups since Brady showed up.
And even the Young Bucks are the tag team champions. Fucking
yeah, but that's horseshit.
Well, yeah, no shit. It's AEW. Anyway, so the last question, which is a fun question. I'll be surprised if anyone actually knows this one.
Oh, here we go.
So I already know Greg won because he has 3 points over... It could be a tie. Who knows? Because Dan, you got two of them.
I got 2 points.
Yeah.
Could be a tie. I don't have a tiebreaker, so fuck it. The opening match to WCW Halloween Havoc 1991. Yeah, the opening match had names as Rick Steiner, Cactus Jack, Abdullah the Butcher, all in this match. What was the name of this 8-man tag gimmick match in WCW Halloween Havoc 1991?
Wow.
They only did it once because Jesus Christ, this match was terrible. I'm not even going to deny it. There's a reason why it was the opening match.
Halloween Havoc. can only think of one thing, but I don't think it was that.
Halloween Havoc 91. It was a
I think what I'm thinking of was what they did for like a tag team match at some point. So
it was a multiple cage tag team match with eight people in.
Oh, I got no chance then. All right.
I
had no idea what kind of match it was. So.
I am wrong.
If it was a cage match, then this is not even close to right.
Didn't even remember. So Dan says pumpkin on a pole match. This is before Russo. Greg, you actually got it right.
That's right.
Chamber of Horrors.
Wasn't that the tag match with the four guys and when Abdullah got electrocuted? And that wasn't that the Chamber of Horrors? That was the Thunder case, Thunderdome.
That was an eight-man tag match. Chamber of Horrors. Cactus Jack flipped the switch. They electrocuted his own teammate, which was Abdullah the Butcher. And, yeah.
No shit.
Chamber of Horrors.
Great. Totally great.
How fucking terrible was that?
Dan, I know you want to say it. What the ton of
do it for him. Total BS!
What's my prize? I don't get a prize. If you want a prize, go on over to ForrestandTees.com. Forrest has a chair shot. Pick up one of them damn t-shirts. Support the movement. Keeps us going. Get a t-shirt. Let's do some last call.
Our last call. For alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
I am going to piss off PC Tunney so bad with this. And that's why I said you guys don't have to prepare. Because PC is out this week. That's why I am here. And he hates whenever attention is put on him. But I like to do this to people sometimes because the world needs more of it. I want you guys to talk about the impact that one Percival Charles Tunney has had on you. We're going to be nice and sentimental right now. Like legitimately, just he's going to listen to this. He's right now, as he's hearing my voice, he's throwing shit because he hates this kind of attention. Tell me something. Just what is PC? He's not dead, everybody. But what is PC? He's just playing golf. What is PC meant to you?
AJ, you got to go first on this one.
Oh, I got to go first on this one? Shit. I can go all first. Right. Okay.
I've known the guy for 23 years, 25 years.
I can go first.
Something like that. Greg, do you want to go first? I'll go first. Since you already have everything patched up.
You're right, because I was able to think about this, so I'll go first. But so I told the story. Some people know, some people don't. But this website, this network, everything was born out of me standing outside of a Target that I never even normally go to here in Arizona, on the phone with PC and with DPP. Just basically, we were running a different website at the time, and I was just like, I don't like it. I want to change it. I have this name idea. We can do a radio network and just kind of hash it out with them. And they were gung-ho. And PC was like, he'd be texting me. He'd be like, the chair shot this, chair shot that. And because I had a name and I had a slogan. And we came up with everything else and back and forth. And he's always got ideas. He's always got so much. And I've said this before, and it's 100% true. There would not be a chairshot.com if not for the support and encouragement of PC Tunney. Like at some point it would have fallen by the wayside, and he basically, without that, he pushed and pushed and pushed, and he's had his own time where he needed time off and everything, and that happens to everybody. But if not for PC's enthusiasm and support when I first had the idea, we wouldn't be coming up on 4 years of this thing, which will hit in November. So that to me is such a big deal. And of course, you know, he revitalized the Chairshot Radio brand with the daily content we're putting out. And now the radio network is doing so well and just really, you know, each at different point of time, the website carries the network carries the website and that sort of thing. And it's just amazing what it's become. And he's that crucial link, that crucial piece. And in that, you know, Andrew's on the website side and PC's on the network side. And that's wouldn't be there without those two people, and where we are as a network would not be the case if not for PC. His attention to detail and the creativity would never have come to pass without PC Tunney. So That's my snippet of let's piss off PC by talking nice about him.
Yeah, I can't disagree on that one, because like you said, my brother Andrew's on the article side where he makes sure everything goes according to plan. You know, you have the article pending, sends it out. So I got to appreciate him for that. But if it wasn't for Chris Platt and PC Tunney, I would never be on the DWI podcast. Where there was one day during AEW when Chris Jericho had his a little bit of the bubbly. All of that going on. I helped Platt order his little bit of the bubbly going on. I helped Tony go a little bit on it. Just saying, hey, just make sure you're 18 or 21 or whatever the fuck it was. I don't remember off the top of my head. But make sure all that goes on. And then Tunney kind of threw the idea out where it's like, hey, let's throw him on to DWI since Platt doesn't want to really do it anymore. Sure, got to talking to Dan over here and just hit it off perfectly. Made sure we had phenomenal funky facts over here. Make sure everything went smoothly. So if it wasn't for Tunney, you'd never hear phenomenal funky facts. You'd never hear this voice going on air with this Blue Yeti microphone over here and all that. So if it wasn't for Tunney throwing the idea, and if it wasn't for my brother with the website side saying, hey, you should do NWA. Hey, I'm a little busy on Thursdays. Can you throw out Impact Wrestling for me if you want a little bit? You'd never see the name AJ Blaz on thechairshot.com. So I got to give my props not only to my brother, but for PC Tunney making sure I'm a fixture on the DWI podcast, making sure you have your fun little trivia, making sure everything goes smooth, even a little smartass. I'm not even going to deny I'm a little bit of a smartass here, but wasn't for PC Tunney, you would never hear this voice on air.
I mean,
I'm just going to kick it to the guy who knows him the longest.
He's agonizing the most over this topic.
I've known PC Tunney for 25 years. You got to call yourself a smartass. Let's talk about PC Tunney. That's a smartass. That son of a bitch is so stubborn, so lazy, goes rogue so goddamn much. I don't know how the hell he's still on the air. This is ridiculous. All right, that's my promo. Yeah,
if 25. Everyone wanted to know, that's true friendship right there.
That's true. That is true friendship. I'll tell you what, we destroy each other so much over that kind of stuff, but we love each other. And that's just the way we are. 25 years of brotherhood. I won't even say friendship, because we are family. It's ridiculous. From, you know, buying each other video games when the PlayStation would come out, and you know, WWE Raw with Stone Cold on the cover came out, and I literally went to the store and bought two copies and just dropped one off at his house and said, here you go, this is yours. You know, we'll figure it out. That guy, you know, we push each other so much, and we have for so long. I am, if anybody really knows me, I am an introvert. I have a lot of social anxiety. I don't know how the hell I'm podcasting, to be honest with you. And it's 284 episodes of DWI. You know, Greg mentioned, you know, the chair shot, you know, when it came alive, when we first talked about it, and doing chair shot radio for how long, and the countless other bandwagon nerds. And now a winner is you. That's PC Tunney. He brings me out of my shell. Like nobody else can do. And that's why he's awesome. You know, I rag on him, obviously, and I did, because he'll love that. But I mean, that's the way we've been for 25 years, is we push each other, and he is phenomenal at that, and he is phenomenal at what he does, and he has just a ridiculous drive for this kind of stuff, and he's good at it. You hear it every week, multiple times on multiple shows. And that's just what you hear on the radio. You don't hear everything else that goes on. He makes everything tick, and he does it with what feels like ease, but I'm sure it's stressful as fuck. So but
whether it's three-man weave, Pot is War, or even the Chair Shot Radio Network,
I'll tell you what, I don't know how you sit in between Platt and Belaz, and I'm talking Andrew.
Yeah, we're talking Andrew here, not me.
And deal with that shit for however goddamn long they podcast on Pot is War every damn week. Yeah, he is ridiculous. I joke about the stubbornness. I mean, it's all in good fun. But goddamn it, he's stubborn. But that's why he's badass, and that's why he does what he does. Because that's PC Tunney, and he's the commissioner of the United States
of the Americas.
Yeah, very few people, like 1% of people who podcast get to make anything from it and make anything of it and all that. So we all do this for the love of the game. And he obviously does too. And that's, you know, he knew kind of when we were getting into this that writing on a website was not going to be his thing. So he just dove in with the podcasting side and took it to a whole nother level, to where it wasn't a small part of the website. It's literally half the website, and that's the way it should be. And thankfully I saw that vision, because it would have been stupid of me not to. And that's where we are. So yeah, it's there you go, PC Tunney. You hated the last 5 minutes, I'm sure, but
there you go, PC. You know what?
That's just the way.
Hate it.
That's the way shit works. Exactly. He's gonna be like, "Damn it! Why did you make them do that, Greg? I'm so mad at you."
You're welcome.
Why did you have right. to like so... make sure I was over? Come on, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
This is such good shit.
All right, we're going to wrap things up here. AJ, let them know where they can find you and what you want to point people to.
Yeah, of course. You can find me on the Twitter machine at PhenomenalAJB, AJB in all caps. You'll find me doing WWE pay-per-views. Maybe if Andrew isn't feeling it, since his availability has been loosened a little bit, you might see me do an Impact here or there. But you can see me also do some opinions and even some insight and results and review on thechairshot.com. So, Dan, I know that you are creeping up. I'm pretty sure you already did 35 for your winner is you. So what is going on with you over there?
That's right. If you're listening to this right now, that means episode 35 of A Winner Is You has dropped. So make sure you go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. We talked all about the new Steam Deck handheld that is coming out, and broke down the specs, so we can let you know if it's worth the reservation or the purchase when it's coming out towards the end of the year into 2022. So make sure you follow A Winner Is You on Twitter and on Facebook at A Winner Is You, the letter U, A Winner Is You, where, Greg, we always use our head, and we never forget that the cake is a lie.
And that's why you shouldn't go alone, right?
Well, no, that's why you take us.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Nice.
Exactly. We've spent a whole fucking show and haven't played this.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And that's fine. Everybody knows, right? And I should have played the Amber version of it, but I'll save that for later. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at ChairShot Greg. That is the best way to go. I briefly mentioned treatment and everything. Instagram is the best place for updates on the health stuff. It's all going well, which is important, obviously, for me and my family and those close to me. So thank you to everybody who reaches out. It's like if I don't give people an update, they start to get worried. I post like a gym pic every day on Instagram, and when I don't, I get messages. People like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I just didn't post a picture."
I can confirm that, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I check every single post. I see Greg DeMarco doing a story on Instagram.
I try, and it has gotten to the point now where, especially like people that I used to work with or whatever, were like, "You've been posting in a day and a half. Are you okay?" Like, yes, I'm okay. Taking my medicine. I'm still doing treatment. It's all good. So yeah, follow along at that. Of course, thechairshot.com. I got podcasts that come out all throughout the week. I've got a Chairshot Radio, Babyface Heel Podcast, the Hashtag Miranda Show, and so much more. If you're in or around the Arizona area, you can come check out IZW Grand Prix on August 28th at IZW Wrestling AZ for those tickets. all the front row, the VIP, all that stuff sold out, but we do have some general admission left. So pick that up as things are picking up, and you know, it's we only do them 4 to 6 times a year. So check it out. Other than that, just keep staying tuned to everything here on the Chair Shot Radio Network. It is Saturday, so we've got Lucha Central coming out tonight. We've got Talk the Keki or whatever. I don't even know if I pronounce it right, but it's our anime podcast coming up Sunday morning. So check that out and so much more right here over at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me on and allowing me to have some fun and cosplay a little bit and be a part of the show. I love the DWI podcast. I at one point, I told Tony about this, I almost tried to make my schedule work where I could just force myself into being a regular member of the show. Didn't happen. And that's fine.
Be hilarious. I just drop it halfway through every time.
I was about to say, I can imagine it actually happening. Like, oh, yeah, I want to do trivia. Oh, yeah, let's do Braun Strowman's, right? Braun Strowman's favorites.
Guys hanging out? I'll hang out.
Yeah, you guys hanging out? Oh, yeah, me too. I'm waiting to invite you, but like, too fucking bad. Here I am. But no, I appreciate you guys playing along, doing all this. I've loved the show since before it was part of the Chair Shot Radio Network, and that's why it was a big part of the creation and the formation and all of that. So, yeah, thank you guys for all of that. And, you know, as you guys head towards 300, it's partially my fault you haven't already hit 300 because of the whole Chair Shot Radio thing. So.
Ah, we're fine.
That is not a problem at all.
But it's all good. We'll get there.
Nice try, though.
But no, I appreciate that. And yeah, until before we get to the Mean Street Posse and the post-credit scene, I've got to do a really horrible PC Tunney cosplay one more time.
Oh, God. I already know where this is going.
To another edition of the podcast known as DWI.
I don't know. You need like a. You need a bit in here.
Oh, do yeah. I?
You need a bit before it goes
it
real high.
Was better than Tony's.
Maybe
was it?
Not having.
I don't know. I don't know. You might be out.
I'm not available.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
AJ, if you need to fire up the Google machine, please do. But otherwise, let's let the people know what they've been waiting weeks and months to hear. We need to know the rules of the TNA King of the Mountain match. And we need to know them right here and right now.
Oh, hey.
All right, so the TNA King of the Mountain tournament match. As soon as you
hate it, info,
we still good here?
Are we?
I'm not the one recording. It's up to if DP lets you go, he lets you go.
What's the problem?
What?
What?
Huh? Really?
So.
Really? Really?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
That's my next one. Perfect. Oh my God.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.